But I survived yesterday. We celebrated Micah's 13th birthday playing paintball, and I can still walk today, so I'm praising God for that. But I want to look at something today in Romans chapter 1. You know, there's been a great burden in my heart recently, and just I'm really just thinking in really this year about, if I were to say it like this, I would say redefining the hope in the gospel. And we'll look at that in a few different ways in just a moment. But in Romans chapter 1, beginning verse number 1, you'll notice that the word of God does say this. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but it was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. For I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone, notice what it says, everyone. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Verse number 9, where we're going to get the main thought for the message, and we're going to preach today from verse number 9 and all the other verses, that for God is my witness. For God is my witness. Father, you know what you'd like to do. And I just ask you, would you please allow it to be done? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, so many things in this passage. You know, one of the things that's really been burning my heart, you know, we'll start at verse number 16 just by just kind of introducing a thought here. And we'll go back and bring an application for God as my witness. But Paul said, the Holy Ghost said through the Apostle Paul, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, a lot of uproar has been recently in the past few days about, if you're aware of the situation that happened in South Carolina with the young man that killed the 9 people in the church there. I don't read the news much. I don't really know what a lot of people are saying. But you know, the immediate thought that came to my mind when I heard that story about that, you know, I had someone call me this week that knows I'm originally from the United States, that's expressing condolences, you know, regarding that my heart might be tied to that. But my heart is not broken because that there are Americans killed, and my heart is not broken because they were African American or black, whatever you feel like is politically correct. whatever makes you happy. I'm a child of God myself, amen. So that's the most important thing to me. But you know, my heart was burdened because I thought to myself, the first thought that crossed my mind when I heard about that is that the most renowned Christian in the New Testament was once a violator of hate crimes. That's the Apostle Paul. Because the Bible says he didn't just snap one day, he breathed out. His very breath was threatenings and slaughter. I mean, that was what his diet was, and God saved him. And I thought about that young man who knows what everybody else is saying about him. And I thought about the words of God when he said to Ananias, he said, "That is the chosen vessel." And I thought to myself, I wonder, is there anybody near that young man that believes in the power of the gospel, that his life is still can be used for the glory of the living God? And I thought, that's what we need to revive out of Christianity, because the gospel is to everyone that believes it. Not just a certain group or this group, but no matter what the situation, no matter what the sin, no matter what the circumstance, the gospel, the good news, is to every single one. And Paul is sharing with the Roman Christians here, and he's really giving a testimony of heart here. And he says some things about himself, I think, and I'd like us to examine ourselves in light of the Scriptures and see how we can, what God would witness of us. He says, for God's love, which is number one, if you're taking notes, whether mentally or physically. First thing he says, number one, God is my witness of my spiritual service. God is my witness of my spiritual service. He says, for God is my witness who I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. You know, the Bible tells us to try the spirits and see whether they be of God. You know, one of the most dangerous things about religion is, because religion is easy to fool people. You know, we can dress a certain way, we can talk a certain way, and everybody thinks everything's okay. But Paul says, I stand before God as my witness. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. Now hold your place here. Turn Book of Galatians, just a short trip to your right. Book of Galatians chapter 5. I want to point out the significance and importance of serving God with the Spirit. You know, we live in a day and age where education and intellectualism is worshipped greatly, but the Bible says that we need to serve God in the Spirit. The most powerful thing can happen as we serve God in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, and verse number 16, you'll notice that the Word of God says this: "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." You know, there's not enough, if I believe what the Bible says here, you know, there's not enough steps that can keep me from walking in the lusts of the flesh. There's not enough programs, there's not enough anything, there's not enough earthly wisdom. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's what Paul said, for God is my witness, whom I serve in the Spirit. God is a witness that the things I've done before you, I've done according to the Spirit of the living God. And verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. If we would serve as a testimony to God, when we stand before men, women, boys, and girls, for God is my witness, whom I serve in the Spirit. It'll change the way we talk to people. It'll change the way we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're honest about it, recognizing that we're standing for them, we're testifying that God is a witness that the things I'm doing in your presence right now are done by the leadership, by submission to the obedience to the Spirit of the living God. Now, I was thinking today, I was. It's a blessing to be a servant of God. You know, I enjoy life because I know what my role is. I'm a servant. And whenever I remember my role, I enjoy my life because I just do what I need to do. Servant serve. No matter who it is, servant serve. No matter what it is, servant serve. And that was revealed to me by the Word of God, and the Spirit of God bears witness that, hey, Reiner Harper, just serve. If you'll just serve, then the fruits that come with service will come with that. And he said, and the Spirit lusts against the flesh. In verse 18, but if ye are led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. You know, some people think that I know a lot of Bible. And I may, if you did a comparison, you might be able to say I know more Bible than some people. But if I have anything that can be said as strength, it's not the magnitude of the Bible verses that I know. The only thing that can allow me to do anything that's proper and good is the Word of God in agreement with the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is what keeps me. Because think about it. If without the Spirit of God, we'd have to have such a Bible vocabulary to where we memorize absolutely everything. We'd have to process like a computer in this situation. How do I act in this situation? No, the Spirit of God leads us. The Bible says that we abstain from all appearance of evil. What happens? The Spirit of God tells us sometimes in a situation that, you know what, that's evil. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't act like that. Don't walk like that. Don't talk like that. Don't be there. And we submit to that. And that allows us not to be under the law. That keeps a church from me having to have a list of 2,147 rules of everything you should do and not do. The Spirit of God can lead you. The Spirit of God can guide you. And if you and I will, before God, have a testimony before each other and before man and before the world, that, you know, God is my witness. I serve Him by the Spirit. Is that the testimony? If you're a child of God, is that your testimony today? That's what God wants you to be. Because that is where you will have the victory and the power to live the life that God wants you to live. He's my witness here. And he goes on to say, now the works of the flesh are manifest, are known, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things should not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the bad news. Unfortunately, I think I violated about almost everything on that list before I got saved. But the good news is, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That's why that's why God wants you to be the witness. He wants you to serve Him in the Spirit, because you can have a life filled with love. Does that mean everybody loves you? No, not necessarily. But you can have a life filled with love. You can love everybody. But that song makes me love everybody. It makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. It's good enough for me. That's old time religion. And that's really, it's just the Bible, Jesus. It's not religion that makes you love everybody. It's Jesus. Joy, peace, long suffering. That's what allows you to be patient with people. That's what allows you to, if you drive, that's what allows you to have control of that horn. Hey, move it, buddy. The Spirit gives you all to be long suffering. You know, amazing how people can come unglued for having to wait. Let's just throw out a number: 3 seconds. You ever be at a red light and the person sits there maybe 3 seconds, and you see people just ready to just come unglued? But the fruit of the Spirit makes you long suffering, gentleness. If you do honk the horn, you can just give a little beep. You don't have to lay on the horn, right? You can be gentle about it. You know, they're just distracted, you know. I'll never forget, I was doing construction work one time, and I was working so many hours, I was so tired. I pulled up to turn left on the street, and I was driving the truck, and I thought, well, I'll just close my eyes here for a minute. And next thing I knew, somebody's knocking on the window. Buddy, are you okay? You know, and I wake up, and as far back as I can see, their cars lined up. So I don't know how long I was asleep. And people must have been honking their horns and everything, but I was so dead asleep. I didn't know anything going on, you know. And I was like, I'm looking around, I'm like, whoa! I'm getting out of here before they come get me. But thank God there was a gentle guy. He knocked on the window. He didn't break it in and said, what's going on? But the Spirit of God allows you to be like that. The Spirit of God allows you to have goodness. Allows you to have faith. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Does your life have substance? Let me ask you a question. Does your life have something you can hold on to right now? I mean, what's the glue that keeps your life in position? That's what comes by the Spirit. You know, you can be a child of God and not have a life of substance. That's what the Bible tells the children of God, to be filled with the Spirit. So you can have a life full of faith with a life full of substance. So that in any situation, no matter how dark the hour, no matter what the weather's doing, no matter what the economy's doing, no matter what the government's doing, no matter where the wars are, the rumors of wars, you can have substance. You can have something to hold on to. That's life of faith. That's what faith does. It's the substance of things hoped for. And it's the evidence of things not seen. You know, the Spirit-filled believer has a life that people don't understand. Why? Why are they okay with everything? Why do they have vision and purpose no matter how bad the world gets? Because God left us here for purpose. Meekness, temperance, there's self-control there. You can't discipline in self-control. It comes by the Spirit of God. I've watched people, I've been saved since 1993. And since then, I've seen so many disciplined, regimented people that did this, and one moment at a time, just totally come unglued. Some leave their family, some leave their church, some leave their life. Only the Spirit of God gives you temperance. It says, against such there is no law. You know, there's no law against love. There's no law against joy. There's no law against peace. And it does make some people mad sometimes when they don't know how to get it. But that's what if you're a child of God, that's what he left you here for, to show them how to get it. But Paul said, God is my witness, whom I testify. Turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse number 13. For God is my witness of my spiritual service. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees, also who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. They scorned him, they mocked him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. That's what religion likes to do. We like to justify ourselves before each other and before, or even against other religions or denominations. But no, we just follow Christ. But God which knoweth your hearts, that's what we're talking about here, but God which knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Paul's testimony, God is my witness, whom I serve by the Spirit. I'm not serving God, Paul is saying, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying that I serve you by the way that which is seen among men. That's not the way it is. Because the Bible says that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. And if you will serve God by the Spirit today, you will say, you know what? I wonder what is highly esteemed in my life. It should be the gospel. On the great thing about that passage we started by reading Romans chapter 1, it said Paul was separated unto the gospel. That word separated means disunited. It means disconnected. Paul was, what was he disunited from? Anything. What was he disconnected from? Everything. Why? For the gospel, for the good news sake, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that men, women, boys, and girls would know the reality that Jesus Christ can save. Romans chapter 1, where we started. Romans chapter 1. So we see number 1, if you're taking notes, God, for God is my witness of my spiritual service. Number 2, for God is my witness of my labors for the gospel. For God is my witness for my labors in the gospel. For in whom I serve with my spirit, notice this, in the gospel of his son. You know, thank God that we're here today. What are your labors for the gospel? What are your labors in the gospel? We're here today to be strengthened that we might labor in the gospel. We're here to encourage one another. We're here to build one another up. We encourage each other in the faith. Why? So we go forth and labor in the gospel. Gospel what? Good news. Hey, is it good news that you're saved? I mean, really, is it good news that you're saved? I mean, if I gave you $1 million right now, I said that's good news, some of you would fall over your chair saying that's good news. Is it good news that you're saved?
Amen.
Amen. And I'm not just trying to make you create any false emotion, but think about the reality that it's good news. And the good news is that since you're saved, God can save anybody because God is no respecter of persons. And that gospel that He gave to you, that gospel that He gave to me, it's for everybody. I was thinking about how the Bible has simple formulas of ministry. The Apostle Paul, the Bible says that the light shone from heaven, that's illumination. So we shine the light as God's people. Let your light so shine before men. And the Bible says, the Apostle Paul, the light shone round about him. That's saturation. So we saturate people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you can look back in your life and you can see how so your life was saturated with things. God was pointing to Jesus Christ here, there, everywhere. Everywhere you turn, it was this, is that, everything that you can know that Jesus Christ was the answer. He saturated you. And he surrounded Paul with the light, that glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then there was humiliation. Because Paul, after that light, he fell to the earth, the Bible says. Humility and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we'll shine, if we'll illuminate, if we'll practice illumination, if we'll be faithful to saturation, eventually somebody will humble themselves under the mighty hand of God and experience the glorious salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that would be the last one. After humiliation, there's salvation. We see here in our text here, but he says, whom I serve God with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Matthew chapter 16, we'll look at a few different verses here. Matthew chapter 16, we're journeying through a few gospels here. Because what cripples religion is it's so easy for you and I to get content of being a witness for each other. We do assemble ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and we do not forsake the assembly, but exhort one another so much the more, as you see the day approaching. That's where we come, to exhort one another, challenge one another, encourage one another. But at the same time, what are we exhorting? That God will be the witness of that we're living the right life that we should be before Him. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 14, notice what the Bible says here. He says, and they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others say Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. Actually, I should read verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And the answer is, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now this is going pretty good right now. So far Peter has a pretty good doctrinal understanding who Jesus Christ is. He says some are confused. Some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias the prophet. No, but Peter testified, I said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus even says to Peter, you're blessed because the understanding, the doctrinal understanding that you have of who the person of Jesus Christ is didn't come by man's explanation. It came by the Father, which he revealed to you in heaven. But then now, Jesus takes the time. Now, Peter, let me explain to you why you really know who I am. Peter, the reason you know that who I am is because I'm here to die. I'm here on this earth that I'm going to be delivered up. Now, I'm going to die, and after 3 days, I'm going to raise again. Peter doesn't like that plan. Notice verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. See, you know, me and Brother Mark were talking about this passage last night, and you know, he took him and rebuilt. I wonder how he took him. You know, you ever have somebody stand for a second, Kenny, if you don't mind. You ever have somebody like maybe Kenny was telling me about something. He's going to make a decision. You know, he's going to think of something ridiculous, like maybe he can beat me in basketball or something like that. And I grab him and I say, have you lost your mind? you probably can't beat me. I'm kidding. But you see what I'm saying? The Bible says he took him and he rebuked him. Can you imagine the one who just testified that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, when he hears about the cross, when he hears about the suffering of his Savior, he takes him and he rebukes him. And Peter doesn't take that lightly, because remember, we read already that which highly esteemed among men is abomination to God. But what was Peter highly esteeming? What is highly esteemed among men? Life in this earth. That's why he rebuked the Lord. Because everything about Christ he was fine with, until it required that he suffered in this earthly lifetime. A life without suffering or problems, that's highly esteemed among men. And Peter rebukes, Jesus responds, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, I don't believe we go out and try to create vows of poverty and do things to make ourselves suffer. But you know, the gospel ministry, as we see from different countries around the world, it causes people to suffer. And they're willing to suffer. Some of you heard a story, I read it again recently about the Moravians. I tell you, it's just fantastic. It just blows my mind every time I read about the Moravians. There was a certain island, and they had slaves there. And this island, these slave traders would not allow anybody to get there with the gospel. And these two Moravians found out about that, and what they did, they sold themselves into slavery, so they could have the price so they could pay the fare, so they could go over to this island. So they sold themselves into slavery, so they could go into this island, and they would never return. Because of the gospel. Because they knew that was the only way to get the gospel to them that time. You'll look at the story of his friend. It's an amazing story. And if you believe in the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it really is life and death, you understand, it makes sense why they would do this. And they were on the ship and they were going away. And I can only imagine their families watching them. And they grabbed themselves arm in arm. And they said, may the lamb that was slain get the reward of his suffering. They were going to win souls for Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? And God was a witness. If you're saved, you're glad somebody gave their life that you might hear the gospel. I got saved at Eastland Baptist Church. And I think Brother Hardy faithfully preaching the gospel. Before he got there was a group of faithful people that met in a garage. No, it was a gas station, I think. I think the church started in a gas station garage. And they're willing to meet anywhere just to preach Christ. And end up later going to over 600 people. But I heard the gospel there because someone's ready to willing to labor and to sacrifice for the cause of Christ. Reading further in Matthew 16, in verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever, notice that, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. The Bible tells us also that whosoever loses your life in a different passage for the gospel, that they'll find their life. God is our witness of our labors with the gospel. And he says, if you'll just deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse number 34. Same passage here, and just reading what I just said, and corresponding passage. And when he had, Mark 8, verse 34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, He said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. You'll save your life for losing for the gospel's. And Paul said, God is my witness of my labors in the gospel. In Mark 16, verse 15, I believe the Bible says that we should, Mark 16, 15, he said, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, and I want to ask you, are you preaching the gospel to every creature? But I would just ask you, are you preaching the gospel to any creature? If there's anybody that the good news that you have of your salvation, you're trying to share the gospel with. God is your witness. God is my witness. And the gospel really is good news. It's really a good thing to share it. Think of it. Again, getting back to the story, the thing about the guy in South Carolina, that turned a tragic situation into an eternal hope. I mean, if those nine people in the church were saved, they're with Jesus Christ right now. They're not sad. They're not discouraged. They're in the presence of the Lord. And they're hoping that the young man that killed them gets to know their Savior. Can you imagine that? That almost blows your mind. But that's the glorious magnitude of the love of God. That's how God, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's the power of the gospel. Luke chapter 9. It says in verse 1, Luke 9, 1, and he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, Take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from off your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. They preached the gospel everywhere, and they healed everywhere. But their labors were for the gospel everywhere. Everywhere. Acts chapter 8. Beginning verse number 1. Acts 8 and verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. At the time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women committed in the prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere griping about religious persecution. It doesn't even say that in the Greek, does it? They went everywhere preaching the word. Why? They went preaching the gospel. Because this was what they had, even though under persecution, even under threat of life, even though they ran because possibly there was a household that they came in and they were, maybe, can you imagine this? Maybe there were just enough soldiers. They were breaking different houses and a house full of people. There's maybe 5 soldiers and 15 people in the house. And the 5 soldiers grab 6 or 8 people. And the other ones that are left, they can't grab. They fight for life, and they're running for their lives, and they're stopping preaching the gospel. Where are you coming? Well, we just came from Jerusalem. Saul is trying to kill us all because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saved our soul. And by the way, have you repented and believed on Christ yourself? Everywhere they went, they preached the word. And Paul said, this is the life that I live now. God is my witness of my labors in the gospel. Most important thing is the labors in the gospel. That's why we come to church, so we can cooperate together in the labors of the gospel. Not to exalt ourselves or compare ourselves among ourselves, but for the gospel. What is God's witness? What does God witness about you? What does God witness about me in my labors in the gospel? Back to our text in Romans 1, where we started. Romans chapter 1, and we read it already, but in verse 16 he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." If you underline your Bible, you ought to underline "everyone that believeth." And the next time you think about whether or not that person can be born again, remember "everyone." But you got to, it's got to be preached to them. Last thing, for God is my witness, number one, of my spiritual service. For God is my witness of my labors in the gospel. Last of all day, for God is my witness of my true prayers and desires for the brethren. For God is my witness of my true prayers and my desires for the brethren. In verse number 9, where we started, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you in my prayers." He says, you know, God is my witness that I mention you in my prayers. God is a witness of how we really pray one for another. God is a witness of our real concern one for another. Notice his concern here. What is his desire for the brethren? Waking request, verse 10, "If by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." He said, I hope God will prosper my journey that I could come unto you. Verse 11, he said, "For I long to see you." For why? So you can take care of me? So you can bless me? No. He said, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established." The reason I travel and preach sometime, in fact, the reason I came to Canada, to impart to you some spiritual gift, that you may be established. I travel sometimes when I'm tired and don't want to go, and physically don't want to go, but bound by the Spirit to go. Just hoping that somebody can get a spiritual gift, that I can impart to someone a spiritual gift. Fathers, we talked about. You know, you labor and you die to self and you die for the gospel because you hope and pray that you'll be able to impart to your children some spiritual gift, that they'll be established. Established in what? In the gospel. Number one, salvation. And then service in the gospel. He said, "I long to see you." He said, God is my witness about this. He said, "I'm not coming just because I like to hang out with you. I'm coming because I want to give you a spiritual gift. I want to impart this to you. I want you to be established. I want you to be strong in the Lord in the power of his might." I don't know how long I'll live. I don't know how long I'll do anything. But I hope I leave behind some people that I've imparted some gifts to, and they're established in the gospel. That'll make my life count, because that's what my Father wants. That's what his Son came here to do, to impart himself, that people could be established in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says that, verse 12, "that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." Then he said, "I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians." He said, "I owe them all." He said, "I owe a debt to these people." Why? Because he said, "My Savior gave me more than I can handle. I got to give it out." And my spillover is for the Greeks and for the barbarians, and to the wise and to the unwise. You know that to everyone that believeth, that's the wise people. That's the unwise people. That's the rich people. I was telling them, I think I mentioned Wednesday night, we live in a world in North America, really almost everybody's rich. I mean, if people live on the street, they draw a paycheck. I mean, they nowhere but in North America, you know, and our struggles are wealth management rather than poverty. But he said, I owe these people. He said, I owe a debt. Christian, don't declare bankruptcy. You've got the amount, you've got the goods to pay. If you're saved by the grace of God, Christ lives inside of you, and you've got the ability to pay the debt. Let God be your witness of your labors in the gospel. What's your desire for the brethren today? Do you pray for the brethren? Did you come to church today hoping to have a spiritual life and of such strength that you would be able to impart something to the brethren? That would change the way you come to church, you know that? Then the pastor doesn't have to be a Superman to deliver some great Holy Ghost-filled message, though I should not be a Superman to deliver a Holy Ghost-filled message. But that means you know, because if I do anything good at all, it's Christ, right? It's not me. Will you understand that? So if you have the same Christ that I have, that means you expect me, and you should expect me, to use my spiritual gift to impart a gift to you. And guess what? You've got the same Christ. That means as you come, if you spiritually prepare and you meditate, and there ought to be something about your heart that says, I can't wait to get to church the next service, because there's something that I have that I can impart, that I can strengthen my brothers and sisters in Christ. Hey, these people, when they were running for their lives, you know what they knew? They're murderers. They're people hung them. They knew they needed the gospel. And they knew the people they were running into that thought they were crazy, they needed the gospel. And even as they ran and they fled, they said, hey, how did they flesh that out? How did they do that? They went everywhere preaching the word. You know, and they get to a new place, and every time they open their mouth, if they get too loud, they know they could possibly die next. But they still preach the gospel. They just couldn't help it. Galatians chapter 2. And I think, Lord willing, we'll close with this passage here. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Here's how we get it done. Knowing this, Galatians 2, I'll start in verse 16. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 16. The Word of God says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. See, this kills religion. See, it's not, you can't be baptized enough. You can't go to church enough. You can't give enough money. Because Jesus himself said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Jesus is not looking for you to woo you with his sacrifice. Our money, our times, our talents, our treasure, that doesn't even impress God. He said, I'll have mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is giving something better than you deserve. Jesus wants to give you mercy. Salvation comes by you asking God for mercy. For you realizing that you can't do enough to be holy like God. You can't do enough to earn the favor of God. You can't do enough to please God. The Bible says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I mean, all of it. We put it all together. But if you'll call for mercy, he said, I'll give it. Because his mercy endureth forever. And he says, knowing this, that by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even as we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For, notice this, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That means you won't be freed, released, pardoned. No flesh. There's not a person that by working the law, that by doing good deeds will be justified before God. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. It's by believing on Christ alone. Verse 17, but if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Christians do sin sometimes, unfortunately, but Christ didn't minister sin. But if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to sin, that I might live unto God. Here's one of the most unbelieved verses in the Bible. For the most, I would say, lack of, one of the most lack of application, lack of application verse in the Bible. For I'm crucified with Christ. And he said, I'm put to death with Christ. When a person is baptized, that's the picture. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. It says in the book of Romans, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. That's the whole picture. We're dead to Christ, and we're dead in Christ. And he said, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm put to death, just like Christ was put to death, but he says, I live. Though I died, I live. But he said, now wait, before you think I'm saying something about myself, he would say here, he said, yet not I. Yet not I. He said, I'm crucified with Christ, but I live. But no, don't miss it. He said, it's not me. I can't do what I'm doing. It's not I. It's Christ that lives in me. It's the Christ that lives me in me, that sustains me, empowers me. I just yield to the Christ that goes back to the beginning, the spiritual service. We led by the Spirit of God. We yield by the Spirit of God. It empowers us to be like Christ and to do all the acts of obedience that we're required to do. And really, I should say acts of loving service unto God. Because when we try to do it in the flesh, we can't do it in the flesh. And many people never attempt to do it because we read these things in the Bible. But there's no way I can live like that. Well, you're right. You can't live like that. It's not you. Paul said it wasn't him. But you know, the problem is there's so much religion and there's so much false humility that when you read something like this, you know what we think? Oh, Paul's just being humble. He's just being humble. You know, when Paul said he was the chief of sinners, he's just being humble. No, that's what he really believed about himself. That's what he viewed himself. He wasn't being humble. He was telling the truth about the way he felt himself to be. And here he's telling the truth. He said, but he's telling, it's not I. It's Christ that liveth in me. And notice what he says, the life, which I now live in the flesh. I live, well, this is good, and you may already know this, but I live by the faith. Look at the verse if you're looking at it. It doesn't say, I live by the faith in the Son of God, because that would give credence to Paul and his faith. The Word of God says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Did Jesus Christ's faith ever fail? No, it didn't. And so Paul was able to do things we consider great acts of obedience. And we really can't even call it that because the Bible said, Luke chapter 17, that if we've done all that we've been commanded to do, we say we're profitable servants. We've done that which is our duty to do. So if I do everything I'm commanded to do, I've just done my duty. No big deal. But Paul said, that which I do, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And the good news comes after that. You know what he said? He said, who loved me? And he gave himself for me. And he said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. He said, this grace, God gave me grace. And yes, I can sin, but I don't frustrate the grace of God. Because God loves me. And I want, that's the life. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Romans chapter 1, where we started, Paul says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. You know, in a court of law, a witness stands to give testimony regarding events that they've seen. What would God's witness today be about your spiritual service? What would God's witness be about my spiritual service? What would God's testimony in your behalf regarding your labors for the gospel? Have you forsaken all for the gospel? Do you care? What would God's witness be about your true prayers and desires for the brethren? What would his witness be? What would he testify regarding you? Paul, with a clear heart, he said, for God is my witness. You know, and that mattered to him. You know why that mattered to him? Because he loved God. And he knew that God loved him. You know, and if Because, see, we can justify ourselves easily amongst ourselves. But I wonder, next time we testify or just try to share with Christ about somebody, can we with an honest heart say, "For God is my witness"? And we should be able to. He wants to. It's not a hard thing. We just have to doubt ourselves. You know, I took Alexa home the other day, and we were talking about some things, and I said, you know, life is really easy. If you just die, if you just die to self, you think there's no pain, you don't get upset about things, you're not frustrated, you know, and just let Christ raise you up, you know. I said, I need to write a book, and I call it title, Just Die, Just Get It Over With and Die, or Die Now and Get It Over With, you know. Because if you die now, you get over everything in their life that you struggle with. Think about it, if you're dead to self right now, who are you offended by? If you're dead to self now, who do you not forgive? If you're dead to self right now, what in the world lures you away from Christ? If you're dead to self, what in the world do you want? You know, what do you lust after? What do you crave? If you're dead to self, well, nothing. And Paul said, he died daily because the challenges are daily. So tomorrow morning, just die right now and get it over with. Amen. And let the Spirit of God lead you. Let God fill you. And then let God lead you in your spiritual service. Let God lead you in labor for the gospel. And let God lead you how to pray one for another. And have the right type of desires for the brethren. You know, that will bring you to the... You know, and I'll just say, if you're lost today, if you're without Christ, I want you to understand that everything that we're saying, that God is, this is the emphasis that God has for His children, that we might shine the light to you. God's plan is that for every believer to give them lives up totally, fully, and completely for His name's sake, for your soul's sake. It's number one for His name's sake, and then it's for your soul's sake. That changes your priorities. It changes your way of thinking. It changes where you're living. And Paul testified, I'm here before you today, for God is my witness that I've served you in the Spirit. Christian, when the last time that you know you've been led by the Spirit of God? Even today, I thank God, I'm glad you're here today, and I hope you come any time and every time. But if you're a child, speaking to children of God today, I mean, really, are you here because of the Spirit? Or you just say, well, just Sunday, I'm supposed to be here. Are you here in a yielded obedience to the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God might lead you out of this place any way, in every way that He wants you to go? If you are, then, man, you're going to have a great day. Because God, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, faith. Now, if you look at that, that doesn't mean you have a great set of circumstances, but you have the power to sustain you within those circumstances. What about your labors for the gospel? You know, it's funny. It's great having children again. We were at my wife and I went to a pastor's conference in Michigan recently, and there's a little boy there, a couple years older than Micah. I don't know, a few years older than Morgan. I said Micah than Morgan. And he gave Morgan a Lego, which he was very thankful for. He was thankful for the Lego. And I said, Morgan, maybe next year you can bring him a toy. Morgan says, no. Know what he's saying? It's okay to give gifts. It's okay to receive gifts. But I'm sure not concerned about giving any. And when we don't witness for the gospel, that's what we're saying to a lost and dying world. It's okay to receive this wonderful, glorious gift of salvation, this eternal life that changed me inside and out, through and through. But you know what? Everybody else just have to get their own. I didn't get my own. People came to me. I still remember Tim and Chris Wallace sitting in my house and just showing the love of God to me. And I can go down the list of person after person. Wendy, and I think it was Amy, gave me my first gospel tract. Was in that, managing that Subway store that night, and thank God for that. And the list goes on and on and on. My Mozzie praying for me. And everything under the sun that I might receive the gospel. My mother in the sewing table praying that a rebellious son that loved the world and loved to be seen, that loved to be the object and center of attention, that he would somehow humble himself before he destroyed his own life. God heard. Thank God for the gospel. Now God is your witness. Let me ask you, what will you do with that witness? Father, we thank you today for your goodness. Lord, so many more things I'd like to say. I just want to yield to do what you want me to do, Father.